Alrighty, and welcome to the next edition of our Garber Sports podcast. Before I announce the topic today, I'm going to announce my fellow contributors, and that's Mo and Emmanuel again. Last podcast, we discussed Steph Curry and the Warriors. Will they ever lose? And by the way, they haven't yet, even though it's been only one game. This podcast is going to be very similar, except we are going to discuss Steph Curry. Just as a player, whether he's the greatest shooter ever. I know it's a heavy topic, but you know what? The way that boy's shooting nowadays, I think some of us may already say he is, some of us may not. I mean, I'll just kind of throw it out there. I'm gonna start with either one of you guys, Mo, Emmanuel, just for the before you give me all the stats and stuff like that. Is he the best ever? Is he the greatest shooter ever?
I won't sell it ever. I will say he's the greatest. Well, he's the best shooter right now, but I don't know about greatest ever. Not yet.
Okay, how many more years? How many more years does he need to do it at this level for either one of you guys to say, "Yeah, you know what? It is what it is. He's the best."
I think if he can do it, maybe after the season, wins the MVP award,
Okay.
and also they win the championship. Then that will do it for me.
Okay, that's fair enough. Emmanuel, what do you think?
I think he's the best shooter right now. I think he's obviously the best shooter we've ever seen, period.
Okay.
I think not only that, he's going to cement his legacy as one of the greatest basketball players to have ever stepped on the court if he wins one more championship. And I know that's even a bigger statement, but he's the greatest shooter. There is no one on his level when I compare as far as, from the eye test that we've seen play the game. And like I said, him winning another championship or even another MVP, bar none, will cement his legacy. He's definitely going to go into the Hall of Fame based on the stats and the numbers he's pulled up until now in 7, 8 seasons.
Okay. Again, this is where I agree with both of you. I think, as far as you said, the eye test thing. I don't know. I've been watching basketball since I was, I don't know, 3, 4 years old, and I'm 35 now, so that's 30 years. I've never seen anybody shoot threes, even twos, or like these weird-looking layups kind of deal like he does. And make it look so easy. I don't understand it. Like I said, we've talked about this before. He's reached a level, in my opinion, where I'm more amazed when he misses a shot than when he makes it, which is, I think, is saying pretty much everything.
This is true. This is true. And you are right. I think what people need to understand is the difficulty of the shot he is taking. He's very poised under pressure. He has an absolute insane range. And most importantly, he shoots lights out. He's a very streaky shooter. Those of us that are familiar with the 2K NBA 2K series, we know exactly what I'm talking about. He's the sort of player that once he gets hot, he just keeps on shooting. It's as if the rim gets bigger for him. And the numbers don't lie. This is a kid we're talking about coming out of college. He was doing this as an undersized, in the eyes of many, point guard, an undersized point guard who was just a shooting guard, but played point guard. And I think where the credit needs to go to Steph is he's improved on his game as a player. And not only that, he's crafted the ability to be able to make shots for himself as a shooter. For lack of better words, I can say he's a Jimmy Fredette 2.0, in essence.
Okay, that's, I mean, Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy Fredette can't even cut it on an NBA team. Steph Curry is the reigning MVP.
Hence why I said 2.0, right?
Well, I think it should be 7.0, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. Okay, here's my question, though. I mean, we all agree watching him, we're all amazed how easily he makes those threes and stuff like that. It's still, though, it's been only 1 year of his dominance. I mean, he was a great shooter before, but now he's kind of gone into that category where you can't believe what you're seeing kind of deal. Isn't it too early to say that he's the greatest ever? Shouldn't he do it for 10 years?
Well, you know, Soldier, here's the thing. You look at the numbers. I'm a numbers guy, and stats do not lie. If you look at the amount of players that have come through the NBA and we give credit as great shooters, we are talking about Larry Bird, Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, you might throw in Chauncey Billups in there. Now, you look at volume shooters, you're talking about a Kobe Bryant, a Dirk Nowitzki. You can go even as far into the most recent generation. You're looking at your Kevin Durant, Jamal Crawford, mm-hmm. Jason Jet Terry, Jason Kidd. These guys are flat-out shooters. That's what they do. But if you take Steph Curry, he's shooting a very high volume, but it's the conversion rate. At the rate he's going right now, not only is he going to break Ray Allen's record and Reggie Miller's record, but he's going to do it at a remarkable... He's doing it at a remarkable pace already, but he's going to break the numbers. And when I say break the numbers, we're talking about the percentage-wise. He's shooting well above, you know, 45, 46% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
But where people don't really give him credit for is his inside game. He has an absolutely near-perfect inside mid-range game. He can pull up from anywhere inside the arc, and it's nothing but net.
True.
And from the free throw line, he's almost perfect. He shoots well over 93% from the free throw line. So, you know, take all of this combined, and like I said, that boy is an assassin from the three-point line. He doesn't need a breath of fresh air, really. He's chucking it up, and it's nothing but net. So I think that, for me, is what really cements him. Like I said, if he does it for this year again and wins another MVP, you can't but dispute that he is the greatest, you know? He is the greatest.
Okay. All right. I mean, talking about your free throw thing, I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now. Free throws this year for him, 112 made out of 119 attempted. That's 94%. Steve Nash was a great free throw shooter. I mean, you know, people back in the day, like Jeff Hornacek was great. I mean, he makes it look so easy. Like I said, when he steps into the free throw line and he starts chewing on his little mouth guard, you're just like, all right, just put these 2 points up there. Let's go on to the next one. What I do want to talk about quickly, though, is what happened to his points per game average. I mean, last year he was averaging 23, 24 points a game. He's up to almost 32 points right now. Do you guys see that kind of staying where it is? Is he going to eventually cool off?
I don't, and here's the reason why I say so. And here's the facts to even back it up. When he was at Davidson, people were surprised by how well Davidson did. Now, hear me out. There was a game, particularly in his junior year back in 2009. Steph pretty much, I think, he maybe made three baskets.
Okay.
And he shot the ball maybe three times before that. His team ended up winning by 30 points. I can't remember who they played. But the thing on that particular night was because they paid attention to him and double-teamed him. And there was always a man on Davidson open to where, you know, there was always a wide-open shooter. They built their team around him. I see the same thing happening with Golden State right now. What they've done is they surrounded Steph with a bunch of shooters, but the difference between back when he was at Davidson to the MVP Steph Curry that we see right now is that he's been able to define his game to where even if he is being double-teamed or triple-teamed or the defense is collapsing on him, he has the IQ now to either shoot at a higher percentage, know when to pick his shots, or know when to take it to the basket. And that is making him effective. And if I'm being honest, if he doesn't get double-teamed, I really think he could average close to 40 points because it's a mismatch. It's a mismatch waiting to happen. This guy can shoot lights out.
Right. No, and I agree with you there. I think the reason I see it staying there or even going more up is, like you said, if the double-team doesn't show up, let's take any other player, for example, let's say LeBron. When LeBron's playing at his highest level, if the double team doesn't show up, he kind of has to go inside, which he can. He's very capable. If he goes inside, uses his power to score the baskets. With Steph Curry, I mean, he's such a great shooter that he can kill you with a crossover and then take it inside, or he can shoot from the outside and score threes all up in your face. Now, the problem with that is, if I'm a defender and I've played hoops all my life, I personally would have to defend the three-point line and force him inside. And maybe one of my other guys helps out or something, but I'm not letting him beat me with 7 3-pointers in a quarter. I wouldn't let it happen. But that's just, I mean, not that there is a strategy to stop him, because it hasn't been found yet. I mean, unless you're Matthew Dellavedova in last year's finals, who apparently stopped him for like a game or two and everybody went crazy about it. What else did I want to discuss about Steph Curry? Quickly, away from the whole shooter thing, simply into the MVP thing, is it pretty much locked up right now, or do you guys see somebody coming out of nowhere? I mean, yes, it's been only a month and a half, but do you see somebody come in the next 5-6 months and kind of, or 4 months rather, and making a race out of it?
I don't think it's a lock right now because you have to look at OKC with Durant. I'm sorry, with Westbrook.
Agreed.
If they go on a run, then it's a two-man race. But for now, he's still in the lead, but I wouldn't say it's a lock right now.
Okay. No LeBron mentioned, you think, because he's back?
No.
And...
I feel like LeBron should even be in the MVP list anymore.
Okay. That's
in
fair.
My opinion.
I think he just doesn't care anymore about it, honestly.
Right. He should be focusing on the championship right now. I don't think he really wants that individual award. So I really think it's still a two-man race. But if
he should, if he's trying to catch Jordan.
No, he can't catch Jordan anymore. That comparison is dead.
Well, even if he did catch Jordan, I mean, I don't think that people would say, oh, LeBron's the better player. So I don't know if that necessarily means anything. You know what I mean?
He's not.
So
let's not get into that.
Well, yeah.
Well, to answer the question though, I do think it's a lock, and here's one reason why I think it's a lock. We're talking about a guy coming into the league. People said, Marco Rubio had a better upside, Brandon Jennings had a better upside, Patty Mills had a better upside, and my boy Jeff Teague. They all said we're more athletic players than him. And like I said, he's done it last year. And he's doing it at an even better rate this year. The Warriors are 19-0 as we speak. Potentially, we'll make it 20 or 23-0 by the end of the week or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost a quarter of the season gone. Unless there's something major happens, he rips an Achilles open, or he gets really banged up, or the Warriors suffer major injury to where he single-handedly can't carry the team, then that would be a whole nother topic. But if we're speaking as of today, as of right now, there is no player in the world that's better than that man. Because, like I said, you take away his shooting, he's just a better basketball player. He makes his teammates better, and that's what the MVP award is all about. You have to have the ability to make your team better. The Golden State Warriors are who they are. Klay Thompson is a shooter because of who Steph Curry is.
No, I disagree.
The way his game is played.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
What do you disagree with, Ma?
With him saying that Klay Thompson is a better shooter because of Steph Curry? Absolutely not. That's why they're the Splash Brothers.
Wait a minute. Doesn't it free up space, though?
Huh?
Doesn't it free up space, having to worry about Curry so much that it frees up space for Klay?
Right, but I think the way he sounded, what I got from, was he saying that Steph makes Klay better?
Because he does.
No, he doesn't. I think that he might not be as good as him, but he's also a very, very deadly shooter.
That's why
there's Splash Brothers. You see, the reason why everybody's focusing on Steph, in my opinion, is because, he won the MVP, the threes. But if you really look at it, without Klay, they're going to have some issues too.
I agree. I mean, Klay is a big part of it.
So, Curry is an important factor, but let's not forget about Klay too. The reason why they're the best is because of that backcourt. When you have two players guarding Steph, who's going to be guarding Klay? That makes gives Klay an opportunity to shoot the ball, to throw the threes. But the thing about it, if Curry's having a bad night, and they don't have Klay, then what happens?
So I guess Draymond Green has to step up.
So I think
I need to clarify myself. You know, okay. Klay is a flat out shooter. He's a shooting guard. He has a bigger body. He has the mold of your prototypical, you know, shooting guard, 6'5", 6'6", whatever he is. But I'm saying Steph makes him a better player because he's a knockdown shooter. You go and watch all of Klay Thompson's highlights. Go watch the game tonight or tomorrow. He's a player that, you know, he doesn't have the ability like a Steph to create his own shot. And the reason why, like I said, he's a bigger guy. He's probably not as athletic.
Not to the extent of
Steph Curry.
I think
you take Steph Curry out of the equation, you know, he's hardly going to be able, he's going to get his shots up, don't get me wrong. Is he going to average the same numbers? No. Is he going to get the amount of wide open three-pointers he gets? No. But I think he's going to be effective. Is Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, are they going to be as effective as they are? Most probably not. But I think they're all good players to a certain degree. But like I said, he makes the Golden State Warriors better. And the efficiency is what we're looking at. To win the MVP award, you have to make your teammates better. If you do it all by yourself, great. And that's why, you know, people always give Kobe Bryant the stick. Kobe was a great, great player. But did he ever make his teammates better? To a certain degree, that's up in the air, you know. That's really up in the air. But Steph, that's why LeBron won 4 in a row, because he made his teammates better. That's what the MVP is all about. So, yes, he's best player,
well,
bar none.
Okay. So if we're talking about making teammates better, and I agree with you 100%, that's what you're supposed to do. This year, Steph Curry averages 5.8 assists per game. That is down from, I believe, let me check, I'm checking it right now.
About seven assists per game last year.
7.7, yeah. So he's down 2 assists. So is he just simply, you know, taking on kind of a bigger role? I'm the big dog on this team. I need to shoot more. I need to, you know, kind of carry the team.
It's the off-the-ball effectiveness. You know, I think what he's become is he's become more of a threat without the ball. And, you know, there's a saying I tend to joke around with my buddies. I say he's become Chef Curry. And the reason why, because he serves the dishes only when he needs to serve the dishes. He's become more of a scoring threat than more of a dish and point guard. He's actually accepted the role that he's a scoring guard, but not a driving point guard or a slashing point guard or a three-point shooter. He just basically said to himself, I'm going to score however way I need to score. And when I need to pass, I will pass.
Okay, that's fair. Now, I don't want to go back to it, but I kind of will. The reason I don't think he's a shoo-in for the MVP is because it's only been, 2 months. I think it's still early. I know they haven't lost. I know he's playing out of his mind. But eventually, he will cool off a little bit. And I do think it's crucial for his sake that Kevin Durant stays healthy. Because with Durant and Westbrook, if they're both healthy, they take away from each other so much, it's not even funny. If either one of them gets hurt, the other one will start putting up the ridiculous number that Westbrook, you know, basically put up last year without Durant when he was up there. Now, the team was terrible, so that's why nobody considered him for a bit. But if the team is a little bit better, I'm telling you, and even for the playoffs, I know you're all on the Golden State bandwagon, but man, I'll take OKC any day with him.
OKC are never going to win the championship. You can quote me on that.
You know what, Sojo? I'm going to be honest. I actually agree with Wonder. I don't know. I keep telling people they are not going to win if those two are on the same team.
Together.
They can't. They just can't.
They can't coexist.
Yes, they can. That's where you guys are mistaken.
That's why they're having issues.
But no, that's the thing. They're not having the issues, though. Russell and Kevin are actually good friends. They have no issues with each other.
Yes, they do. But see, when it times, there was a game, I can't remember the game, where they actually had a little, you know, because he wasn't passing the ball to Durant. He kept going. You're a point guard. You're supposed to pass first, then shoot. Westbrook doesn't do that. He shoots first.
Okay, well, he's not a traditional point guard.
What's Durant doing?
That's the problem.
They can't coexist. And that's why I think Durant, after this season, is going to be going to Washington.
But
he needs to come to L.A.
God, enough with the Lakers love already. I'm trying to think of what else we need to discuss about Curry. I mean, I guess we can finish with this. What happens to Golden State in, you know, just like a minute or so? What happens to them if, God forbid, he's out for a month or so? Are they just going to go tumbling down completely? Like, can they exist without him?
Without
Curry.
Curry or who?
No. What I'm saying is, Golden State, if they were to lose Curry for, let's say, a month with some sort of an injury, I mean, how big of an impact would that have on their team? I mean, who's the big dog
that
there?
It would be a big one. I think because, again, like you guys said, he's a 3-point threat, makes a shot, but I don't think it would be like bad. I think there's to be above average.
Agree.
They'll just be like the Bulls. They'll be the Western. They'll be the West Coast Conference Bulls, Chicago Bulls. They'll be a good team, but they're just not gonna quite have it, you know. And when he gets injured, hopefully he doesn't. But
I hope he doesn't.
He hardly ever drives. When he does, you know, it'll be a situation of where they're like, you know, who's gonna carry the team? No, everyone is a role player. No one is really a star player. Iggy. Do you trust Sean Livingston with the ball? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the only reason I mentioned anything about an injury is because he has been, you know, having issues, at least in the past, with the ankles and stuff like that.
You know what, though? I disagree at one point, because if you think about it, even though we are talking about Steph Curry, if you take out Draymond Green, they're going to have as much issues as you take out Curry.
He is important. Because very much the glue of the team, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said he's very much the glue of the team. I agree 100%.
He is. You see, what I'm trying to explain to y'all is that even though Curry is having a great season, I'm not going to take any away from that. I want y'all to understand that his teammates are also making him better because they create shots for him. They move the ball so well. It's like, I don't know how, because Mark Jackson, the way he set them up, is just good. So they're all important. It's like a glue. So if one person is out, the others are not
going to never
be. So that's what I'm trying to say.
I can even go one up on that statement. You know, here's what it is. You look at Steve Kerr, who's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Who did he play under? He played under the Jedi himself, Phil Jackson. You look at who's the current interim coach, Luke Walton. He played under the Jedi himself. Now, you look at the offense they're running. It's the same old triangle offense that Kobe ran and Jordan ran. What they've done with it is they've definitely changed it up to where instead of having a big man just sit at the top, they have slashers playing that role. So it's always someone playing a 1-4 and they have someone sitting at the high top. That's why Andrew Bogut is ineffective in that formation that they run. But having said that, now you have a Draymond Green and a Harrison Barnes who are supposed to be quote unquote power forwards who shoot and who slash and who dunk. So yes, Draymond Green is important, but you can make that same argument to say Harrison Barnes is just as effective. Andre Iguodala is just
that's
as effective.
Yeah, they are.
Right. That's a whole new.
I don't think they're playing the triangle.
Now that's a whole. That's a topic
that's
for a whole
another.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Because if you think about it, Mike Jackson was actually the person that set up this foundation, not Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr just came in and just added little tweaks, and boom.
Yeah, I'm
the
with you. I'm
that
hey,
really started this
sorry.
Mark Jackson.
You're right.
Sorry to cut
know,
you guys
I think
off.
The Warriors are wrong to fire them.
Sorry to cut you guys off, but we're going to have to wrap up this discussion now. Is he the greatest ever? It remains to be seen. We will discuss it again shortly. But for now, that's it from Mo, that's it from Emmanuel, and from Sojo and myself. We'll talk to you guys next time.
All right.
All righty.
Okay.